Have you ever wondered why so many intelligent people do not see what you see? You see hope while they see despair. You see God while they see emptiness. For example, Woody Allen was being interviewed about his new movie, Irrational Man. He said, no matter how much the philosophers talk to you, or the priest, or the psychiatrist, the bottom line is life has its own agenda, and it runs right over you. We're all going to wind up in a very bad position someday, the same position, but a bad one. Allen continues, because in the end, life has no meaning. We live in a random universe, and you're living a meaningless life. And everything you create in your life or do is going to vanish. And the earth will vanish. The sun will burn out. The universe will be gone. Where do these ideas come from? These negative views? Well, I'll tell you that it comes from an enemy that's unseen. He's called the devil. He's the sower of seeds, but they're seeds of deception. He has created multitudes of different mythologies for worshippers of idols. He's the father of lies. Untrue traditions and theologies for the religious. False prophecies for the intellectuals. And all other kinds of false social, political, and economic ideologies to confuse people and to keep them from the true seed of the Word of God. It's spiritual darkness. 72 years ago, on this very day, June the 6th, God opened my eyes to the truth of His salvation through His Son. And you know, I thought at the time that I thought this all up, I discovered it, but I thought like Spurgeon, the great English preacher. He wrote, when I was coming to Christ, I thought I was doing it all myself, and though I sought the Lord earnestly, I had no idea the Lord was seeking me. I do not think the young convert is at first aware of this. I can recall the very day and hour when first I received these truths in my own soul, when they were, as John Bunyan says, burnt into my heart as with a hot iron. He said, when I was sitting in the house of God, I was not thinking much about the preacher's sermon. I did not understand it. The thought struck me, how did you come to become a Christian? I sought the Lord. But how did you come to seek the Lord? In a moment, I saw that God was at the bottom of it all, and He was the author of my faith. And so the whole doctrine of grace opened up to me. From that doctrine, I have not departed to this day, and I desire to make this my constant confession. I ascribe my change wholly to God. That was exactly my experience. God the Father sent His Spirit to illuminate my mind, to open my heart, to blind my eyes so I could see. And He's been my companion for 72 years. He's a wonderful companion, the Holy Spirit. This morning I want to introduce Him to you through God's Word. We've just celebrated Pentecost, so this is a good time to refer back to Him. This brings us to our text this morning. 2 Timothy 1, 7 to 12. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Messiah Yeshua before time began. But but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, the good news, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Paul said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. This morning we want to focus in to verse 7 and 8. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. The presence of God the Holy Spirit. I hope and pray that everyone will sense his divine presence. I have three simple points to make in my message. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of his love. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of the spirit of power. God has not given us his spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. This has been my experience, and I'm sure the experience of many of you. My first point is God the Father has given us his spirit of love, not the spirit of fear. His spirit of love calls us into the family of God. Listen to verse 8 and 9 of our text. God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. See, before time began, that is our time, history, before man was created, God had a purpose in creating us. His purpose was to create a holy people with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his grace, according to his gift of life, which was given to us in Yeshua, in the Messiah. Before time began, this was God's purpose. In 1928, I was born a child of the earthly Adam with the worldly nature, which was filled with self-love and lacked the love of God. This brought me a disadvantage with God, as it does to all who are born in this fallen world. The Word of God tells us in 1 John 2:15 to 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, in God, there's no lust. There's only love. In God, there's no pride, only a desire of a faithful Father who seeks our welfare. In God, there's no covetousness, but generosity, for he is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. Isn't that amazing? Now, the human problem is that we are born with the lust of the flesh. We're born with the pride of life. We are born with the lust of the eyes, which is covetousness. So the bad news is that we will not abide forever in that condition, because only those who do the will of God abides forever. The good news is that God sent his Son, Yeshua, to be our atonement. And he also has sent his Spirit to transform us into the children of God. You know, there are many things I didn't understand about the Holy Spirit for many years. God's Spirit, I discovered, is really exactly like Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus said to Philip, when Philip asked him, show us the Father and it will be suffice. It will be satisfied. He said, Philip, have I been with you so long and you have not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Amazing truth. So why do you ask us to show you the Father? The Father is exactly like the Son of God in character. When the Son of God showed love and compassion, that was the work of the Father. And also, the Holy Spirit is just like the Son. He came to represent the Son of God. He is the Spirit of love. I told you about the time that God's Spirit revealed himself to me. Being Jewish, coming from a non-religious home, I really didn't know a lot about the Holy Spirit. I knew, when I heard the message of Yeshua, I accepted him. God revealed him to me. And I didn't understand that it was the Spirit of God that opened my eyes. But a few days later, as I was worshiping the Lord Jesus, thanking him for forgiveness, I had the assurance my sins were forgiven. I had the closest thing to a vision. I was walking on Lafayette Avenue and it seemed heaven open. The Holy Spirit descended and he introduced himself to me. He said, I am the Holy Spirit and I have come to testify of Jesus. Now I made one miscalculation. I thought the Holy Spirit is the most sensitive member of the Trinity. I was afraid that I would offend him. I was taught walking around on tiptoes. I was afraid that somehow I would offend him. But then I came recently to realize he's just like Jesus. And he is not easily offended. Listen to Galatians 5:22-24. And by the way, this is what God is producing in us by the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So that's the nature that the Spirit of God is producing in us. He's not finished with the job, but he will be one day. He came to transform us into the image of Jesus. So I used to worry, am I going to offend the Holy Spirit? Well, now I know that he's long-suffering and that he is faithful to his the children of God. Now, this does not mean that we take him for granted. The word says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Don't play games with him, but greatly honor him as we honor Yeshua, as we honor the Father. Now, understand that he is making us channels of his love. But we are not the source of love. When you hear a preacher preach the word and the Spirit of God penetrates your heart, the preacher is only a channel. But he is the source. Listen to verse 10 of our text. But the Spirit of love has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the good news. So the Spirit of love has been revealed. Now it's easy for us to get confused. Let me illustrate this. And sometimes you might think, well, this pastor, this preacher, this believer is the source of the Spirit. But you know, after World War I, Lawrence of Arabia took his Arab friends to Paris. Nothing interested them except the faucet of the bathtub. For hours, they turned the plumbing on and off and watched with amazement as the water poured out. As they were about to return to Arabia, Lawrence caught them trying to remove the faucet from the bathtub. They explained that Arabia was a desert and the faucet would give them as much water as was needed. Lawrence tried to explain to them plumbing. The faucet is not the source of the water. It is only a channel. So when you sense the Spirit of God in a person, he's only a channel. Jesus is the source of the water of life. This is what the Lord Jesus said to the woman of Samaria in John 4:13-14. Yeshua answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water of the well will thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Bringing up into everlasting life. So that life is already in process. We now have passed from death unto life through the blessed Holy Spirit. So my second point is that God has given us his spirit of power, not the spirit of fear. It's a spirit that empowers us to worship God, to serve God. I love to review my prayer journal, especially if I have a discouraging moment, as it reminds me of the faithfulness of God over the years. I want to share one of my prayers that I entitled Embracing the Holy Spirit on February 11, 2011. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to his disciples. He is the one who led me to the truth of your salvation and then revealed himself to me a few days later. When I told my pastor about my experience, he warned me not to become a fanatic. I discovered there is a great deal of confusion about the ministry of the Spirit. My experiences with your Spirit are genuine, and I appreciate your long suffering with my ignorance. Jesus, my Lord, clarified the purpose of your Spirit to reprove the world of guilt and to be a comforter and helper for your children. He has come to guide us into all truth, to testify of Jesus, to reveal the things to come from your prophetic word. There are many other wonderful accomplishments of the Spirit who produces the fruit of love within our hearts to impart your holiness and righteousness within our hearts. He is a precious gift of your love and salvation because he brings fellowship with you and your Son. Now I place all my faith in his ministry and embrace him fully in Jesus' name. I give up all my fears and foolishness, for I know that he has come for my good so that I can testify of you and therefore glorify you. Forgive me for the years of my confusion, passive resistance, and fill me completely with your Spirit. May I walk in the Spirit daily, pray in the Spirit, serve you in the Spirit, and become your true worshiper. Without Jesus, my Savior, I'd be lost forever. My desire is to be a bondservant of Jesus. Father, would you grant to me another assignment? I may be getting old, but I want another assignment and the health and the spiritual power to achieve it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I wanted to share that personal prayer and encourage you to pray. Write out your prayers. Keep a journal. And years from now, you'll look back and say, why? God answered that prayer. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing as exciting as to pray with someone and see the light of the gospel shine in their minds. The Holy Spirit is the only way we can know. And so he is a spirit of power. Power to convince the world. Power to open hearts and open minds. Without his convicting power, none of us would be believers. Without his teaching of us as we read the Word of God, we would not understand the Word of God. Now, God's Spirit has enabled people to serve him with power. I'd like to share a person that was somewhat a hero of faith in my mind. Bonhoeffer, he was professor of theology at the University of Berlin in Germany during the 1930s. At that time, German churches were divided over Hitler. One group allied themselves with Hitler. They wanted a pure German nation. They formed an official German church which supported Hitler and banned Jews from holding official positions in the church. You may be unaware of this, but 3% of the clergy of the German church at that time were Jewish background, many Jewish believers. Bonhoeffer was among those who could not go along with Hitler's anti-Jewish vision. With others, he set up an underground church which explicitly refused to ally itself with Hitler's Third Reich vision. It was dangerous. In 1937, Bonhoeffer was fired from his position at the university. He fled to London. 2 years later, Bonhoeffer was faced with a choice. He was offered one of the most significant theological appointments in the world, to be a lecturer at a seminary in New York, or return to Germany to head up an illegal underground seminary and church, who refused to go along with Hitler. He decided that his faith is meaningless if he takes the easy option. In 1943, Bonhoeffer was arrested. In prison, he had led the worship services for his fellow prisoners until the fateful day, April 9, 1945, when he was executed by the Nazis. Now, he's dead, but his life and his testimony has lived on. God still uses it to tell us not to get caught into the lies of Satan. My third point is that God has given us his spirit of a sound mind. There's nothing as wonderful as a sound mind. God's spirit of a sound mind can keep us steady in all kinds of circumstances. The Apostle Paul wrote in verse 11 of our text, "To which I was appointed a preacher." So he didn't decide he would be a preacher, but God appointed him. "An apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe." So how did he know? Through the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And here he went through some terrible things. Through God's power, the Apostle Paul established many of the beginning churches and wrote much of the inspired New Testament. God used him to proclaim the gospel faithfully and successfully. But serving God is not without opposition and suffering. So we wonder why people like the Apostle Paul kept on serving God in a hostile world. Listen to his troubles. I want to read it from 2 Corinthians 11:25 to 29. He said, "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." Oh, there are false brethren, false teachers. "In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, the deep concern for all the churches." Think of how God changed this man. As Saul of Tarsus, he persecuted the church severely. And when God met him, he not only forgave him of all that, but he made him a successful servant of God. What kept him persistent in serving successfully with courage? What kept him from becoming disoriented, the spirit of the sound mind. Now, no one would have blamed Paul if he retired in Tarsus, but he persisted in serving God successfully with courage, and he kept his mind, his sound mind. The Holy Spirit keeps our mind steady in God's faithfulness. Even without persecution, life can be difficult, especially in our senior years. A friend of ours, a dear friend, went to Calgary to celebrate with the family. And while she was there, she developed 3 blood clots and was rushed to the hospital. The doctor gave her no hope of survival, but the Lord intervened and spared her life. She told Lee and me that while she was near death, told she would not survive the day. The doctors were amazed that she survived to this day. She said, "I experienced an unbelievable peace of mind and heart, and that was the spirit of a sound mind working in her." They said, "Do you want to be put on life support?" "No. If it's time, it's time." But what an amazing testimony. She said, "I never experienced such peace." She was ready to go. Listen to 1 John 4:18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." I think many of you have read the book, The Hiding Place. Corey Ten Boom wrote that when she was a little girl in Holland, her first recognition of death came after visiting the home of a neighbor who had died. It impressed her that someday her parents and she would also die. Corey's father comforted her with words of wisdom. "Corey, when you and I go to Amsterdam, when do I give you your ticket?" "Why, just before we get on the plane, on the train," she replied. "Exactly," her father said, "and our wise Father in heaven knows when you're going to need things too. Don't run out ahead of him. Corey, when the time comes that some of us will have to die, you will look into your heart and you will find the strength that you need." Years later, when the Nazis occupied Holland, they were seeking Jews to send them to death camps. Her family hid Jewish friends in their home, protected them. But a neighbor betrayed them, and the Gestapo arrested her family and sent them all to a concentration camp. When Corey's beloved sister Bessie died in the camp, she witnessed her steadfast love for Jesus and God's grace. Corey survived to tell the story of how God kept them in peace during all their suffering. God's Spirit kept her from bitterness and despair, trusting their Lord. And I can say this to seniors, you know, every senior I know has some kind of terrible sickness or illness. Listen, the abiding presence of Jesus is sweet. I mean, I can sense the Holy Spirit as I really develop this message. I start out in the week, I say, "Lord, what am I going to say? What is I going to say?" And God will bring to me a scripture text. I'll write it down. I'll say, "What does this mean?" Little by little, he helps me understand. In fact, this morning, I did major surgery on this message. I just had one part of my illustration belonged in another part of the message. And it was just like God said, "This is what you need to do." And so I know the Holy Spirit is speaking. My presentation may not be the best, but I know if you listen, God will encourage your heart. You may need comfort. You may need assurance. You may need conviction. You may need to be told by the Spirit of God, "You're on the wrong path. Come back." Whatever it is, I know he's working. I know you know he's working. If you listen, he will speak to you. Now, in conclusion, I want to let you know that the Spirit of God is faithful to carry us through this life into eternity. Now, many of you know that I've been given a diagnosis of having Parkinson. I think I would rather not have known that, because just knowing it gets me all upset. But I can tell you that it's been a wonderful experience with God. And I want to assure you that there are things that I'm learning as I go through this. In fact, the doctor said, don't worry, you got it late in life. You'll be gone before it affects you severely. So I know that's true. So we go through these processes. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he's getting to the end of his life in verse 12 of our text. For this reason, because I'm a preacher of the gospel, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. The world will try to make me ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I know him. Get in touch with God, the Spirit of God. I know him and am persuaded that he's able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. How could you be so sure, Paul? I mean, he was facing such terrible persecution. How can you be so positive? Well, because God had given him his Spirit of love, who is also the Spirit of power, who also is the Spirit of a sound mind. It's a love relationship. We're so hard on ourselves. We judge ourselves. We kick ourselves emotionally all the time. God loves you. God loves you. Don't judge yourself. You will only be distressed. God loves you and accepted you by his grace. So stop judging yourself. I love 1 John 4. God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. His Son relieved us from the wrath of God, the righteous judgment of God. Well, if you haven't begun your journey, or you've gotten sidetracked on your journey, let me tell you that God's Spirit is ready to win you over, restore you, save you. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and you'll be saved. What a salvation! What a wonderful salvation we have. Let's share it with others. And trust the Spirit to do the work that has to be done. Well, let's pray. Lord, your message is beyond anything we could ever discover on our own. Thank you for bringing conviction to us. Thank you for bringing salvation to us. Thank you for staying with us and being kind and long-suffering and faithful. We've failed you many times, Lord. But you didn't kick us out of the kingdom of God. You just rescued us. So, Father, we thank you for the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And help us to stop judging ourselves and allowing God to pour his love and grace into our lives. I pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus, Yeshua. Amen.